reason we picked this topic is this last year, we've been totally enveloped in data quality. Our registry is about 4 years old, and when we brought on our HL7 bidirectional interface, we realized how our duplicates, patients and vaccines, have compounded exponentially. So we really wanted to take a look at what were all the reasons for those, what was causing them, and how could we either prevent them from happening or clean them up afterwards. So the objectives of my talk are going to give you a quick background of Kansas WebIZ and our sources of data, give you the rundown of the problems we've found in the sources of data, and describe the tools we've developed to improve that data, and give you our awe-inspiring conclusions. Kansas WebIZ, just to give you a background of Kansas, I'll be showing a map here in a moment. We are an opt-in state. We're kind of one of those few odd ones, but we do need patient consent before any record is put into the registry. But luckily, we do have a Kansas statute that allows us to capture or put child immunizations into the registry if they're under 18. That was instituted in 1996. Kansas WebIZ is a birth-to-death registry. We don't just focus on the kiddos. We do want the adults in there. We deployed Kansas WebIZ in the summer of 2005. At the beginning, we did have the vital statistics import in place, and we were able to go back to 1994 to incorporate all records to that point, because in 1994, the great state was already thinking ahead about this registry, and they wanted to put the consent on the birth certificate. Likewise, our import runs nightly, and we have an average of 113 patients that are loaded every night, and that's about 98% of the birth cohort. So we do have a good percentage of those parents giving the consent anyway. Then we started enrolling in providers in August 2005. Our first provider was a local health department. We started with local health departments just because in the majority of Kansas, for the history per se, immunizations were given in local health department settings. There wasn't a lot of private providers that gave them. So of those at the time, 42 health departments were identified that would drop their current system and come on as direct entry. So we extracted their data, loaded it as flat files, and then went on from there. And we also then identified private providers that had no electronic data, so they could just be trained to go straight direct entry. Now, please don't cringe at that first word. We did start in 2007, pardon me, in May, and had an electronic interface with our state Medicaid billing system. Because we were so young and we wanted to get the data in there quickly, we went for the biggest data source that we could get in at the time. And we'll go through some of the errors that we found with that, but some of the things we found that we can overcome with billing data. So right off the bat, we were able to load 133,000 new patients with that data and about 1.5 million vaccinations that were associated with those patients. And that went back to 1998 to the present. It is an HL7 batch, so it comes in nightly, which has about 700 to 750 vaccinations. Then in July 2007, we did create a bidirectional HL7 real-time interface. We have two different vendors for local health departments in Kansas. So the remaining systems, those local health departments that didn't want to come on as direct entry and had an electronic system, they pushed us for this interface. They wanted it two-way. So we developed it, and of those, there were 63 of the 105 local health departments that would use this. And we are currently testing with private provider vendors as well, and we're really close to pushing one of those live. So here's a great map of Kansas. All you can tell right here is more or less our 105 counties, all depicted. The blue mean those are our direct entry counties. They're using Kansas WebIZ directly, and it does have inventory management so they can track all their patient records. Then the pink are the actual interface providers, local health departments that are live currently. Our gray are those still counties that will go through that interface. And I was in a workshop yesterday that a gal mentioned, you know, even though you have an interface that works with one vendor or two vendors, you still have to treat each site individually, because what we found is so many times one health department would use this field this way and the other field, another health department would use it totally separate. So you still have to clean and look at each site individually. And then the red dots there are our private provider sites, and those are direct entry provider sites. And it gives you a quick stats of the total providers down here in the lower right corner. We do have 200 total 210 total provider sites that are live with the registry, either interface or direct. And there's, just so you guys get a feel, we think there's about 400 some total immunization providers in Kansas. It's not well known, so we're about halfway there. And it kind of breaks down the statistics. Just to reiterate, there are 31 health departments currently with that interface, and that's going to play a role here in our data. So currently, our data statistics, just so you know, 2007, Kansas was given a 2.8 million population estimate, and Kansas WebIZ, as of last week, in March 21st, we had a total number of 1.4, around there, million patients created. And you can see by the pie chart where those data sources are coming from. So we have about 37% coming from vital records. So it's a good chance that all our providers, especially our direct entry ones, the record is there before they have to add data to it. Direct entry is a little bit lower, 7%. And then if you drop down to the flat file, we were able to import a lot of historical data at 19%. And then our HL7 are bringing in 27. So all those non-Medicaid patients we're getting from a lot of the HL7 local health department providers. And Medicaid is, of course, at 9%. As for vaccinations, we've got about 9.8 million vaccinations in the system currently. Of those, about 9.1 million were historical. And then we've got 720,000 coming from administered from our direct entry. As you can see just from the pie chart, how the data sources differ because of the vaccination versus patient. Vital records drops because all we're getting is that vital Hep B dose, where flat file loaded a lot of 26% of vaccinations. Direct entry is adding a lot of historical. They're adding to the Medicaid because Medicaid is so partial to the enrollment status of that client. Direct entry is filling in the blanks for us, and so same with HL7 providers. So with all these data sources, of course, we found problems. But to alleviate these problems, we wanted to see what was the distinct problem and how could we alleviate them. So some of the things that we found right off, incoming interface data, whether it's HL7 batch, Medicaid, or vital, I guess our matching criteria was so strict that even if Social Security or date of birth was off by one digit, then it would not match them. It would go ahead and create a new patient record, and then it would have to be handled manually. Then data entry, as you know, it's just data entry. So anybody can key something wrong, but ineligible documentation can also add to that confusion. If somebody's reading a pink card as a date with an 8 and somebody reads it as a 3, when you mesh those two records, you have to figure out which one's right. Common things we found with our vital import right away, we love the demographics, but the Hep B birth dose was actually sometimes problematic. If the hospital did not mark the exact date of vaccination, it would be imported and defaulted to the date of birth of a client. So when that patient, the mom, took the baby in to get a vaccination 2 months later, then they say, oh, the actual pink card says, oh, well, it was 2 days different than the date of birth. We had a problem. So then we wrote scripts to remove our vital when we had a provider's date instead. Here's that infamous Medicaid billing data. One thing we realized, obviously, right away is immunizations from Medicaid or billing data is just a snapshot in time of that client's record. Because it's coming from the billing data, that patient might be enrolled in Medicaid 1 year, go to fully insured the next, and drop back to Medicaid that other. So you're only capturing those immunizations from the year they're enrolled, not the historical. Also, billing dates can differ from administration date by several days. This is because that billing clerk is just trying to get paid and not encountering or keeping track of the actual administered date. Then we also found recently that when there's denied vaccinations at the Medicaid billing part, they didn't tell us about that. So we already have it in our system, and it's not correct or it wasn't given. So we're working on eliminating those. There's also coding issues. What we found a lot with our HL7 providers is they were billing for Hib titer, which is no longer used, but it was coming across as Hib titer, but then when they loaded their data, they actually administered Hib titer. Hib PEDVAX or ACTIB. So we found problems with that, and we're working on things to relieve that as well. Then with the HL7 interface, the real-time data, we had the same issue with coding errors. Again, because they didn't ever change their billing codes in their EMR systems, when they sent it to us, the codes were wrong. And so if somebody put it in as historical from a direct entry standpoint, then they didn't match. Then we really tightened down our pre-certification process with HL7, and if you go to my colleague's presentation tomorrow, you'll learn more about that. But the pre-certification, what we found, we run all these tests or reports on their data to see how many duplicates are they going to send us if it matches up against our data, like Vital, or how many were actually created from their own system. And it was really astounding to see how many duplicates they had in their own system before they sent it to us. So a lot of these EMRs don't have their own deduplication process for patients or vaccination level, which is disheartening because it's a lot of messy. It's very messy. Then again, the separate databases require ongoing synchronizations. What we mean by that is you have an HL7 provider with data. They have duplicates. They send it to us, but then they clean it up on their side. If they query us again and they don't clean, if we don't clean it up, they get it right back in their system and vice versa. So you have an ongoing process to keep this clean and keep them on their toes. So what did we do? We found we had to evaluate our data sources based on type of connection, timeliness of exchange, type of data, and then give an overall ranking based on source and quality. So things to consider when ranking. Again, when I'm talking about data quality, really I need to reiterate, I'm mostly looking at duplicates in this slide or this presentation. So at patient level, the demographics part, you have to think of what is the source? How reliable is it? What mechanism was the data input to the IIS? Was it direct entry, one time, an interface? How often was it updated? Was it as the patient was seen? Was it nightly? Was it weekly? It all plays a role of how fast you have to clean that data with it not happening again. And then at the vaccine level, you still have to consider all the same things above, but now you have to look at the lot information. Who administered it? Was it historical? Did more than one provider approve that date? So then you can kind of give it a little bit more reliability or ranking. So when I look at the source of our sources, Vital had the highest level of reliability just because of the demographic data. We knew that was a state record. We went off that. But not necessarily for that Hep B dose because it could be a couple days different. Medicaid, it had a medium level reliability just because of the demographic data. Could be a little bit lower. The social could be wrong. The spelling of the name could be wrong. But generally, lower on the vaccine because of the dates being possibly different. Encounter data, this is when the actual nurse or the client's getting seen. This depends on the individual provider because everybody has their own way of doing things, but generally is the most reliable outside Vital patient demographics. But within that, you have two different types of providers as well. We have our HL7 bidirectional, and then we have our direct entry. Our HL7 depends on the vendor type because, again, you have to rely on their standards. They could code their one field as something, and we code as something else. Or this health department's use middle name for Mogi instead of their actual patient system. That was pretty. Then direct entry is generally we take that as the prettiest or the best data, generally most reliable because it's as the patient was seen, and we can actually within the registry we can impose those data standards, so we know what's how the data is going to react. Then for the mechanism, direct entry, one-time load, interface. Direct entry is most reliable since this occurs at the individual patient entry, and we can control the search criteria. So they can, if they don't find it the first time, they can search by a couple different ways before doing it. On the interface, it's actually very strict. So if a provider has a social security number, date of birth, last name, first name, and something doesn't match up just by a slight error, that digit of the social is off, it does not match. So then they actually create a new record for it. And that takes manual intervention. Then on the legacy loads, I don't have a high reliability for that just because you're just taking that data. Nobody's looked individually at those records for a long time, and you just don't know how it is. So timeliness of update, the real-time, nightly, weekly. This is really important, again, because if you've got something changing all the time, then you're going to have to be really good about keeping your duplicates down, or in our system, if you've got two or more that possibly match, it won't match to one of them. It'll create a new duplicate. So you have to keep on top of it. So the vitals imported nightly, the Medicaid's nightly in a batch form. The real-time interfaces are as the patient's seen real-time. And the direct entry is usually real time. Then at vaccine ownership, you have administered versus historical. If administered by a provider, they have the highest reliability just because they're owner of that administration date and they need to tell us what's correct. If entered as historical, it's a lower priority or lower ranking than administered, but higher than billing data still. And then if multiple providers agree on a date, then we kind of go with that one. Okay, I back up. You saw a snippet. So what did we do with all this? We kind of had to create what we call matrices or grids, because anything that the system didn't catch to go ahead and create or combine, we had to do a manual intervention. So what this is our patient dedupe matrix. We had to take all our sources on the row and the column and say, okay, what happens when I have a vital versus an HL7 when they match up? Okay, I'm going to take vital because their demographics I really believe in, but the HL7 has the vaccinations I want. So when we merge them, all the vaccinations from the second one do go into the first, but we're keeping that core demographics from vital. And then just another example is if we had HL7 versus direct entry, then you have to drop it down because you're not sure exactly whose demographics are better, but you're looking at the vaccine level then. You're saying who has the most current vaccine, so I keep that address of that current provider. So then you merge it in that one. So our next look is what did we do at the vaccine level? This is something we just found this year, is how bad this actually was, how many duplicate vaccines we actually had in the system. And providers, you assume they're checking a record as they see the client and saying, oh, that's too close to this date, that's gotta be wrong. Well, they don't. So we found scripts to identify those for us. We developed a script that comes out in pretty much in Excel. Again, these are all the manual intervention ones. And down at the bottom, you can see kind of the columns or the fields that it creates. We have to get patient information, which is system ID, name and date of birth, which I've cut off here, the vaccine one, and the other vaccine that it's possibly matching up against. And the script here is same antigen within the same 10 days possibility. So here, just an example, we have a Hep B on 410 of 94 by one provider, and then Hep B on 420-94, but it's by the same provider. So this is, again, that example of the provider had duplicates in their own system before they sent it to us. Sadly, this provider snuck in before we actually had this in process, so we have to clean up that data still. And then the second one is a DTaP 3499 by one provider, and then a DTaP 31099 by a different provider. You can kind of see there on the provider clinic code, which is that third column, when it has the clinic code, we know they are claimed as administered. The other one says patient record, so they're sending it to us. These are HL7 ones, mind you, that they are claiming it as historical. So, don't you love this? We really took a long time, and you don't have to worry about the details. We really took a long time thinking about all the sources, all the instances, who last updated, who created, what matters, and what are you going to do with it? So we created a matrix. Again, these are the ones that need manual intervention of what you can do with it. And just to give you a quick idea, is the yellow are all those ones, instances, where the provider had the duplicates on their side first before they introduced it to us. And we even find this with direct entry, is they put in duplicates and they didn't even check their data entry. So it's disheartening. The green is stuff we can do. The pink is we don't have enough information. We need to go back to the providers and say, submit your data to us so we can look at the actual pink card, because somebody's reading it as a 3 and somebody else is reading it as an 8. So here's an example of how we kind of do our process for the vaccine dedupe. Again, that example of the Hep B on 410-94 by Allen County, and another Hep B on 420 presented both data from them. And just the middle little illustration there is actually what it looks like in our system to providers. So you can tell there's a 410, 420. If anybody's looking at it, you can say, okay, those are too close, that can't be. You need to investigate further. So then on the matrix per se, we take the HL7-1 provider, because of the vaccine type 1, it's our Allen County. They are the provider clinic, and nobody last updated except them. So they're HL7-1-1. And then on the other side, it's the same thing. So when you rank them together, it says, obviously it's a dupe on that Allen County's part. They need to clean it, tell us what's the correct date, and we simultaneously have to clean it so nobody else is getting these duplicates in their system. So it even throws another wrench in it when there's a duplicate, another provider's already queried that data into their system before we've cleaned it. So that could be introduced as well. So the resolution here is Allen County needs to clean it. Let us know, we'll clean it too. This instance, it's the DTAP on 3499 from Allen County. And again, because that clinic's code tells us they administered it versus the DTAP on 310 showing patient records, Crawford County is telling us, hey, I have it as historical, but if you don't have it, here it is. Again, those are within that 10-day window. So I use my matrix. I say, here's my HL71 provider, Allen County. Nobody last updated it, so it's HL71 again. And then I go down the left side and say, hey, this county put it in its patient record as historical, but it was a different HL7 provider. So the resolution here is HL7 provider 2, Crawford, because they added as historical, will have to change or correct their date to match what Allen County did because they are the administrating facility. So in results, what did we do, or how did we, what did we learn, I guess, here? Right off from the vital and the Medicaid issues, we created scripts that run regularly to remove those duplicate Hep Bs if they're within 5 days of another provider's data set. We'll remove our vital. And then Medicaid is remove any duplicate Medicaid vaccines. Again, if we have a patient record or a provider record coming in and nobody's touched that Medicaid one, we'll delete it because that's a billing date. And then the matrices we developed, and again, these all take manual intervention. Hopefully down the road, we're gonna try to automate these a little bit more into the system, but until we were able to fully understand the data, we went this route. We have tightened our pre-certification with our HL7 interface providers just because of all the errors we found. We wanna clean it before it's introduced to us. And then we still do this process ongoing because as they're adding new data, it didn't go through that pre-certification part. And then we develop new reports, actually for our direct entry people. We've always had it as at the admin level, at the state level, but we actually gave this back to the direct entry providers. So if you had a possible match on a patient that you owned, you would then be able to look, okay, is that really the same patient that another provider added, or is it not? And then they could let us know. Same with the vaccines. So they would work proactively and help us clean it. In conclusion, I told you it was that awe-inspiring conclusion. Data quality is constantly changing. Imagine that. And as new data sources and technologies are available, new and improved ways to check data quality need to be considered. So no matter what, as we add more data and new sources, we're looking at WIC, all these other things down the road, pharmacy data, school nurse, we've got to check the data to update our checks. And then, although data source evaluation can differ among IISs, because you guys may not have the same data sources that I do, you need to still evaluate each one of the data sources, and then it may create a universal data quality standard and improve system integrity. And with that, any questions? Or here's my contact details.
Thanks.